It's nice to follow Haggai, and you know, every one of those videos is powerful, Scott, to realize where they're living and the potentials. Anyway, thank you very much. If you've never heard David the lawyer, if you were around 10 minutes ago in court, he sings his defense. I don't know if you knew that. Always to the tune of the Hallelujah chorus. And he comes to the part where it repeats, please acquit him, acquit him. And the judge says, okay, he's acquitted. Just stop the song. It's a wonderful thing. I've been there many times. They zoom it, if you like. We've been maybe too much for three of you, but on the image of God, what is the most unique thing about your humanity? It's not your knee. Don't even point to your brain. It is that we were created, of all creatures, we are persons created in the image of God. And you've heard it so much in growing up, if you grew up in church, and I don't think it's explained well enough in church. We are spiritual persons who have bodies. The body is not the main thing. Obviously, it is to many people. But the image of God, when God created man and woman, mankind, in His image. And today we come to the part about living life. On your outlines, it's Monday, but it's the fifth one in the series that I hope helps you as much as it helped me to think about it recently. Think how amazing is your kidney, is your heart the greatest muscle? Is the fact that you're thinking right now, what's he going to say next? Or how amazing is that? But way above that, even. And if you're a doctor, I would want to argue it. You'd probably win the logic, but I'd still say, no, it's that we're made in the image of God. Nobody mentions that in the election year. The COVID strikes us all with fear, but this isn't mentioned. What happens when we die? It's a neglected subject that we are spiritual beings. Don't you dare ever neglect it. So how do we live? In the beginning, this is an actual picture of Adam and Eve, taken with an iPhone before their time. It's hard to imagine how in a perfect state they treated each other and loved each other and made love and talked about life and went to church by just worshiping where they were. They were connected with God something like this. You guys, way above where I have ever experienced. But by their choice, they fell. So we've looked at the image, creation itself. What God has done. That's so far beyond me. Hey Siri, how many stars are in our galaxy?
Approximately between 200 billion and 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy.
Hey Siri, how many galaxies are in the universe?
Here's an answer from Wikipedia.org. There are at least 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe.
Any questions? I used to date Siri in high school. She's bashful. She only talks when you talk to her, but boy, she helped me through history and all the courses and math. Now think about that. That's for fun, but it's also for serious. Scientists know this, but they just go, oh, yeah, just, you know, that many millions and trillions of galaxies in the universe. And all you can say is, whoa. But you also, we're made so we'd look up and say, God, I love you. I worship you. And that's creation. We looked at the fall. We fell. Great questions have been asked on this, and I stutter. I try a little bit, but I say it. But it seems like when Adam and Eve fell, the image, the abilities they had, the ontic, look it up sometime, meaning the consciousness, that they have a conscience, that they can communicate, that they can look in the mirror and change things, they can get angry and smile and laugh. Those things were still there, but the image in the sense of imaging or mirroring or relating to God, that was gone. So that's the fall. So you have human beings who are very smart, way above my IQ and yours, and they destroy each other, or they don't know how to get along. We have fabulous minds in Washington, D.C. that drive us crazy. And I say that with respect in one sense. There are leaders, but they can't even solve some problems because everything is political. That's awful. But that doesn't take away their abilities. They just don't have a relationship in many cases with each other and first with God. Then we looked at, you got to go here, you know, what has four legs and a bushy tail? Jesus is the perfect image of God. And we can't miss that. We'll see that a little more today. Re-imaging, not reimagining, re-imaging is in the context of eternal life, but also new birth. Jesus he was not sloppy with his words. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again, huh? You receive the Spirit, just like at the beginning, Adam and Eve. You're born spiritually, born from above, so the relationship is restored. How are you doing with yours? You know him better than 5 years ago. So that's where the issue of re-imaging, but then how do you live every day? Join me in Ephesians chapter 4. Some great verses. I'll stay in one passage today, which I much prefer to do, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Now this I say, Paul has so many ways to get our attention. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, so you better listen. I love to say to church boards, the government of churches in the New Testament, what part of obey Paul don't you understand? Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Adam and Eve did, or as Gentiles do, in the futility, it's a big word, emptiness of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. These are smart people. This is the Roman Greco culture. This is the stuff Michael's been talking about in the evening, about the history and who they were. They were brilliant people in many ways. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Separated because of the ignorance that is in them due to their own choices, their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves over to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. How could you say more? How could you exaggerate that any more than he did? This is my heart and yours. Don't look away if we don't walk in Christ. Then he says, but 20, he stops himself and says, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. You guys, he says to the Ephesians, that's not the way you learned Christ. You did learn him, didn't you? I won't take time on it, but we don't just learn about Christ, we learn Christ. And we see him. And so part of the issue today is, what is this truth that is in Jesus? How is he the truth? Is not the way you have learned Christ. The truth in Jesus, think about it. I can say a little bit here. He tells the truth. Yes, he is the truth. One of the disciples, I think it was Philip, says, Lord, well, if you know God that much or you're from him, show us the way. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Life is built around his planning, if you choose. He's the brains behind those millions of stars in our galaxy, billions, I shouldn't say, and trillions of galaxy in the universe. It doesn't just happen. I know a lot of people think that. He set it in place, the whole system. He holds the atom bomb, showed us that what Colossians meant when it says he holds it together by his word. Whoa. He will say when he returns to the earth, as one missionary said it, enough, and the atom will explode. The things won't be held together. He's an eyes and ears and nose and throat specialist because he invented them all. He's the truth behind all of this, but especially he's the truth not about how it works or how it got here, but why it's here. The truth is in Jesus. That's a huge issue. He's the inventor of our conscience. He's the maker of the human heart, but also the human brain and the memory and the thinking process. It can be done his way. He's the maker of destiny, sovereign of kings, but more, he's the truth about why we were invented. Do you believe that? You don't just go to church because, boy, it's a good thing to do. No, you worship, but you do it at home. Or you bow your knee sometimes and say, I don't get it, but I love you. You are the truth. Michael's beautiful way of presenting last night brought tears to my eyes about Jesus. After they pour the water in the ceremony, so many ceremonies in the Old Testament. And you find out from Paul later on that the rock that the water came out of at a different event, that rock was Jesus. And you go, huh? Yeah, that rock was Jesus. And the water that's poured out in the ceremony at the Feast of Tabernacles, their Thanksgiving, Jesus says, if anyone's thirsty, here's the water. I'm over here. In the next chapter, I'm sure you've read it, at that same tabernacle, they had huge lights. Some say more than two. Some say two were so big that they lit up all Jerusalem. And that's when in John 8:12, he said, while the people were seeing the lights, and the lights were a picture of the Old Testament wandering, that they were led by fire by night and clouds by day, he stands up and says, I am the light of the world. Gulp. As the light led the people in the wilderness, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't follow a GPS or a road that was already there. They followed the light and the cloud. In the same way, we follow him. He's the truth. He's the light of the world. Follow me, he said to people, and invites us today. So when Paul says, you have learned about the truth that is in Jesus, he doesn't mean the truth from one of the prophets, Micah, that you ought to do good and do justice and to walk humbly with. Yeah, that's part of it, but he doesn't just mean the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You shouldn't be so irritated when you don't have something. Yeah, that's part of it, but he meant, if you go my way, I will lead you and I will be your shepherd through your heart, through your choices, don't worry. I'm the light of the world. His truth is there. He could teach philosophy at Michigan State. He could teach psychology anywhere. He could teach history and know all the facts. But what he'd like to teach is truth, the true way to live. As was put so well last night, in a world where they're arguing and still are about who's the greatest. You've watched the political leaders, who's the greatest? He says, I'll show you, and he washes feet. So you did want to know the truth, Paul says. You do know the truth, don't you? In my work with pastors whom I grow to love in every case, except that one guy. No. I say, you got to have a discipleship group. You got to have 5 or 6 men, you know, discipleship program, schmucks program. Who's in your group? And one of the books that was shown to me, here's one of the questions in the discipleship group. Where did Jesus go when he left Nazareth? And if you look up the verse, the answer is Capernaum. That'll change your life. Now, the questions we should ask each other, what does it mean to follow Christ in that kind of marriage? What does it mean to follow Christ with those kind of bosses at work? That's truth. How do we wash feet? And so Christian growth is not memorizing books, keep memorizing, but it's learning to love and forgive and say in our own words what Jesus said as one of his last words, forgive them, Father. So Paul says, you guys, you did learn the truth, didn't you? As the truth is in Jesus. Yeah, when I get accountability in front of Christ someday, I won't be asked, did I really memorize the books of the Bible? Could I really say them in 1 minute? I can't. My good friend can, and he's a show-off. No, the question is, did you follow the truth? Did you follow your Savior? So, because of his truth, he's the foundation for everything. That's easy to say, but it means behind your anger, have it be righteous, appropriate. Behind your marriage, if you're married, the vows are in truth. Behind your single life, the purity comes from Jesus Christ as you follow him. He made it. All of it. And he'll bring it back together someday. When in one of the hardest books in the Bible, I think, you decide, but is Job, and all those question marks and all the terrible advice he got from friends and even from his wife. Did your wife ever say to you, curse God and die? It's not an affectionate thought. But at the end of it, he starts thinking, well, maybe it was my fault that I did these things, or that God allowed these things from Satan. Don't forget how it came. And God says, Job, we need to talk. And they go out into a field, I think. And chapters, I think it's 39 to the end of the book, is God saying to Job, Job, if you know so much, he didn't say it that way, but where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, Job. And Job's saying, where were you when I made the horse with its flowing mane and its muscles that gallops? Job, do you know how those horses work? Job, do you know where I store the lightning bolts? Tell me, Job. And Job's saying there, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Put the, you know, he uses a picture, put the four corners so that the sun would be where it is and the earth would revolve where, you know, and all these. Job? And he goes on. He mentions the Leviathan, the alligator, some other creation, but also the universe. And Job stands there and he falls down on his face. Chapter 42. And his few words are, I have spoken of things too wonderful for me. That's the truth that is in Jesus. That he made it all. He made us in his image. And Job worships. And he I think, quits coming up with theories and listening to his three friends and his wife on those issues. And he just worships and obeys. Is that you? God would say to me probably many times in my life, where were you? How do you know so much? How do you know how to treat that guy? Were you there when, do you know how this all, do you know the truth that is in Jesus? That's the question. Okay, who is the truth? Verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the light, here it is, the image of God in true righteousness and holiness. Don't forget where it starts. You can take a shortcut or try to be good, and it will be frustrating. It starts with the cross. Jesus Christ becomes our Savior. The big word in the Bible is atonement. The wrath of God was satisfied. He takes all our sins on His back. Do you believe that? More than that, the other big term is justification by faith alone. I did it in seminary. The act by which a holy God declares righteous someone who is not at all righteous in His sight, on the basis of the gift of Jesus Christ and His righteousness. So the righteousness of Christ is put on us, and we're to live then that way. It's not, I believe in Jesus, okay, we've got the true and false down. Now it is, are you in the combination life? The image is restored in the sense of relationship. Christ is your Lord and truthfully Savior, indwelling Spirit. If so, two things, we've said them, so I'll only take a few minutes. Put off, put on. Put off yourself, put on Christ. First thought often is wrong. It's a clothing illustration. You take the old clothes off that are dirty and throw them aside, not to be washed, but to be burned. You put on humility. You put on the robe of righteousness. You put on the truth-telling of Jesus. You put on love, joy, peace. There we go again. Patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Do you do that? I have a friend who puts it on. He puts on the armor of God this way, and then he goes through the other ones. You don't have to do it any certain way. It's just when you choose, the truth is in you. The truth is in Jesus. You have studied Him, haven't you? But more, you have combined with Him. He wants you to enjoy carpentry. He wants you to work hard as a teacher, a mother, a pastor, whatever you do, that can be all, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. You don't have to sing a hymn when you make a cabinet if you're a carpenter. Your life is a choice, an intentional, deliberate commitment to Christ. Enjoy your television program if it's clean, but love Him and make that the primary. That's the issue. Will you keep doing that? You put off what's like all of us. My natural tendency is to get even. As I mentioned, I learned it from my brother. I wasn't going to do it. I decided when I was 2 I'd never be angry at anybody in a wrong way. And my brother taught me, and I've had a problem with it. And I'll have to apologize to him again. Mickey Mantle was the Mike Trout of his day. Some of you are old enough to remember him. But the song that he asked sung at his funeral, he lived a rather wild life, think drink and a lot of connections. And he asked Roy Clark to sing it at his funeral. Mickey Mantle, who the story was told by Bobby Richardson, the second baseman of the center fielder, that he trusted Christ as Savior on his deathbed. But here's what he wanted, because he knew it was his life. Yesterday, when I was young, the taste of life was sweet as rain upon my tongue. I teased at life as if it were a foolish game, the way the evening breeze may tease a candle flame. The thousand dreams I dreamed, the splendid things I planned, I always built, alas, on weak and shifting sand. I lived by night and shunned the naked light of day, and only now I see how the years ran away. Yesterday when I was young, so many drinking songs were waiting to be sung, so many wayward pleasures lay in store for me, and so much pain my dazzled eyes refused to see. I ran so fast the time and youth at last ran out. I never stopped to think what life was all about. And every conversation I can now recall concerned itself with me and nothing else at all. Yesterday the moon was blue and every crazy day brought something new to do. I used my magic age as if it were a wand, and never saw the waste and emptiness beyond. The game of love I played with arrogance and pride, and every flame I lit too quickly, quickly died. The friends I made all seemed somehow to drift away, and only I am left on stage to end the play. There are so many songs in me that won't be sung. I feel the bitter taste of tears upon my tongue. The time has come for me to pay for yesterday, when I was young. What an admission to help all of us. The rabbis have an expression, repent the day before you die. And in their story, someone always says, but Rabbi, I do not know when I will die. Then repent today. Put off. Paul said in another case, when something knocks at the door of your heart, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Don't let it in. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, who is the truth, and put on Christ. One of the things I coach is master schedule. What's your fixed schedule for the week? When do you do your worship? When do you do your exercise? When are your dates with your wife? When do you disciple people? When do you plan your sermon? Okay. Everybody gets one, but have one that's your goals built in. To put on, you have to start with your life and your commitment and your schedule and the truth which is in Jesus. What did He do? So in many ways, that's the process we looked at yesterday. How do you grow? And look at what he says here at the end, the capstone of our theme, in verse 24. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, that's Christ in you, created after the likeness, there it is, after the image or likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Image God. I don't mean your kids say, my dad's a god, my mom's a goddess. No, no. But you image evidence of Christ in your life. Will you do that? We're called Christians because we reflect Him. We're called His followers. We believe all this. We're learners, disciples of Christ first. Don't think people first. We're children of God, made in His image to image Him. Made with thought and spirit and choices so we choose to love Him. Everyone around the world. That's the good of what Haggai does, what missions do, what I do when I try to help our neighbor that way. Reminders from some verses we saw this week. Philippians 2:12, it says, you work out your salvation. You work out your good health. Think exercise. You work it out, and He doesn't leave you alone. He says, for it is God who works in you. You're connected to Him. We work, He works. But some people don't have flowers because they don't plant them. Some people don't love because they never ask for help to do it. 2 Corinthians, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the light of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we always go back to the truth is in Jesus. And we're so grateful. Romans. Actually, he predestined us so he could pull us up. He did this before the foundations of the earth, it says in Ephesians 1:11. I don't know what that means. It means that forever, God knew he would send Jesus Christ, his Son. He would send the Christ, his Son, to become Jesus, our Savior. It's the whole purpose. We sang it when we were little, "This little light of mine." It's a small light, but it's because we're connected to the great light. I am the light of the world. We show it. And as we grow, I love the verse. It's almost a funny way to say it, where he says, increasing in the last verse, the increasing glory which comes from the Lord. Again, King James, from glory to glory. From one argument to another, and you're different in the second argument. From one day to another, you grow in the image of God, which comes from the Lord. We increase in His glory from glory to glory. And you may know this, but someday, the culmination of the image, I want to be careful here because I don't know exactly, but it says in 1 John 3, the culmination, we shall be like Him. We'll see Him as He is. Then the image is totally restored. Then we're like Christ in terms of total righteousness forever and ever and ever. You think a rainbow is beautiful. Wait till you see what life is like then. You think there's a joy to look at the lake and the sunset. Wait till you see heaven and the glory that's ahead. You think it was worth it because you were blessed in your income or something when you gave money to God and work. Oh, wait till you see the riches we have in heaven. And the joy and the truth that we experience and the pleasure of being with Christ and like Him in many ways, not God, but like Him with a perfect body. Hang on and keep doing what's right. Reflect, image God. Let's pray. Now unto Him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us, Jude said it because he loved Jesus, to present us faultless before the presence of His throne with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, both now and forever. And help us more and more to live in His image, please. We love You. Right, everyone? We love You. Right, everyone? And we want to obey You and reflect Your joy, Your love, Your peace. Amen.